Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 318, stanzas 3, 6, and 7. The stone rejected and despised is now the cornerstone. How wondrous are the ways of God, unfathomed and unknown. How wondrous are the ways of God, unfathomed and unknown. 3, 6, and 7 of Psalter 318. Thank you.
pleased to read from God's holy and precious word out of the Song of Solomon, the third chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Song of Solomon, third chapter. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, "See ye him whom my soul loveth?" It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the days of the gladness of his heart.
Let us try to pray. Almighty God, thou who wast the silent witness of all that has taken place in this morning hour, and when we are gathered together in this afternoon hour, it is for a special purpose, wherein we may reflect upon all that has taken place. And we have made each and every one our own confession in a public way. And that is not yet with that separation which will come from thee, but it is a representation. And because we will appear, each one of us, soon at thy judgment seat, and how then will that be for us? When thou wilt separate us also with all this world, as a shepherd does divide his sheep from the goats. O Lord, we beseech thee, and wilt thou bind this matter upon our hearts, because we have, each and every one of us, a form of religion. But we are on our own side so careless. And when we go through this world concerning the substance over against the form, oh, then we lack what is of value, what will stand in that great day. And it does not burden our hearts by nature. O Lord, we beseech Thee, as Thou dost say in Thy holy word, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. O that Thou may grant unto us to seek Thee while Thou art to be found, and that may be in an outward way, by an outward knowledge. But when Thou wilt bless it for that true regeneration, then it shall bring forth fruit unto Thee in Thy time. We ask it of Thee, Lord, because of the honor and for the glory of Thy great and holy name in the first place. For in the multitude of subjects is the honor of the King. Gather us then both young and old, that we could not let Thee go except that Thou would bless us also. And that remaining on the outside in this morning hour may be for the pricking of our hearts, that we may see something of our state by nature, that we stand on the outside of it, and that it may become the greatest burden of our life. That we may learn to humble ourselves before Thee, that we may learn to come as a beggar at Thy footstool. Wilt Thou discover our sin unto us? Wilt Thou open it in all of its wretchedness, in its ugliness, in its evil, in its loathsomeness? Wilt Thou give that it may become to us as a burden that will sink us into Tophet, except that we receive from Thee that forgiveness and that washing, O Lord, that Thou mayst so affect the hearts by Thy Spirit of both young and old, bind it upon our parents, bind it upon the old people, bind it upon our children and upon our youth. This all belongeth unto Thee, for we are by nature dead, O Lord, in trespasses and in sins, and there is no man that can affect his own heart. We ask then for that power, the power of Thy Holy Spirit from above. Do it for Thy great and holy name's sake. Do it for the sake also of the building up of Thy church, and that there may be a testimony in the midst of this world, that there may be an example also, and that the world may be given to see something of that work of Thee, that Thou may look upon each and every one, also those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for Thou knowest where that they are, though that for themselves they do stand afar off. O Lord, that Thou wouldst give clarity, that Thou wouldst give us also as Thy servant what is necessary to lead our flock. Lead us into all Thy truths, that we ourselves may be given to learn new things and old things out of Thy law, and that we may be able to bring them in the midst of our congregation, that we may know how to go before them and how to lay out the mysteries of Thy salvation and the way of the leading of Thy Holy Spirit. We need to be taught if we will be able to teach others. Lord, that Thou may remember those that cannot live any more in the way of sin and in the way of this world, but who yet have not come to the end of their own strength. Thou Thyself will teach Thy own. Wilt Thou lead them and guide them, and wilt Thou show unto them the utter wretchedness of the heart and the utter loathsomeness of their own righteousness. And wilt thou open unto them that righteousness of thy dear and only begotten Son, in whom thou art well pleased, and that which is acceptable unto thee. O, that thou may look upon us this afternoon, when we may be in together for this hour of consideration and of reflection. O, how great the goodness kept in store for those that fear thee and adore in meek humility. O Lord, thou knowest all thy church and where they are, and what they may have received in this morning hour. Thy servant may say the lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair. The heritage in which I dwell is good beyond compare. O, that thou may give thy children to bask in the blessedness of all the mediatorial work of thy dear Son. O, that they may be given to live a life closer and closer unto thee, and that their desires may be more and more away from this world. That their treasure may truly be day by day in heaven, where that thou sittest on the right hand of God. Wilt thou lead further in the steps of grace, that it may be known also among us what is that blessed assurance of that people, that they may be given to say in the court of their own conscience, that he hath cast all my sins into the depth of the sea. O, that they may be given to know also that he is mine and I am his. O, is it not a blessed assurance which is so glorifying unto thee? O, lead them by thy Holy Spirit more and more, deeper and deeper into those blessed mysteries. Wilt thou give unto each and every one of us then an hour of reflection? Look upon all those that bring thy word. O, increase thou their number. When the labors are many, when the harvest is great, and the laborers are so few, Lord, remember thy servant who is also going to go back unto the Netherlands. O, that thou may go with him in the place where that he hopes to go with his family. But, O, look upon us also and the community that is then left behind. O, Lord, we ask of thee that thou may send yet a man to this place, who may help us, that all the labors may be able to be completed. For thou knowest all our insufficiency. O Lord, we beseech thee, that thou would send a man of thy own choosing. O, give unto us, here amongst the people where we may dwell, a man who is taught by thee, O, a man who is instructed by thee, a man who comes not upon his own word, but who comes at thy command. O Lord, we beseech thee, wilt thou so remember in thy mercy those congregations which are vacant and will be vacant. Lord, remember all thy servants, increase their number. O, that thou may gladden us with thy deeds in the months that are to come, and when the curatorium hopes to meet again. O, that thou may give much prayer in the midst of us as congregations, that thou wouldst not forsake us as we so justly deserve, but that thou wouldst raise up men who are taught, who are converted, who are called by thee, and with that tender fear of thy name in their hearts, and that may be given instruction, and that they may lead thy people, and that many may have yet to be converted, and that many may have yet to enter into thy kingdom. Help those that rule and govern us. Bring back, O Lord, to thy law and to thy testimonies. Remember the judges that have yet to make a decision. O Lord, guide them. Thou hast the heart of all men in thy hands. Remember our school, our teachers, all that are connected to it. O bless the means. And for the sake of our dear children, and give that also there. There may be those who give themselves to that work. Lord, remember us together. Be with us and all those that cannot gather with us unto this day, in this day, in this hour. Wilt thou remember all that are sick, all that are weak, all that are old, those that have difficulties of the mind whom we cannot reach, all that listen by church telephone, and all those that have no desire anymore, all thou can reach them also. Care for all those that are handicapped. Be with all those that suffer from addictions, serious diseases. Teach us the most serious disease that lives within our hearts, that we may have need for that great physician. Help us in this hour once again to stand before our congregation. Give us the unction of thy Holy Spirit. Bring that word with power in the hearts of young and old. Forgive and take away our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 125, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend. For Christ the King, forsake the world and every former friend. 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 of Psalter 125. And the last collection today is for our school. beloved congregation, we read in the Bible that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, fell on his face and that he worshipped Daniel. Why? Because Daniel, he had told his dream. Imagine the wonder that was in the heart of this king when he recalled step by step in his own mind every thought of his head upon his bed, all told by Daniel. That was to him evidence of divine work. It was for this reason that he fell on his face and he worshipped him as a god. The reflection upon this miracle, this divine work, has made place in the heart of Nebuchadnezzar for the interpretation of that dream that was also given by Daniel, that he may believe that it was truly a word and a work from the Lord himself. Reflection that can be as profitable as preparation. Because the Lord, he may use it for the confirmation of his own work. But then it is necessary that our soul may recognize directly out of the Word of God. That's not just from a man, not just from a minister, but out of the Word of God, those thoughts and those experiences that go on in our heart. That is then evidence of a divine work. And that is for that people a confirmation that it is not their own work. On the other hand, it is profitable for each and every one to know also that we stand, if it is so, yet on the outside, in order that while it is still a day of grace, we may yet seek and find. With the Lord's help, therefore, we wish in an hour of reflection to consider with you verses 5, 6, and 7 of Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 5, 6, and 7. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose, and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. So far, the words of our text. The effect of the banqueting house upon the bride of Christ. First, overwhelmed by love. Second, upheld and embraced by his hands. Third, stimulated to watchfulness. The effect of the banqueting house upon the bride of Christ. First, overwhelmed by love. Second, upheld and embraced by his hands. And third, stimulated to watchfulness. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. What is that? To be sick of love. That is not that she says that she is sick for love. That is that she is sick under the lack of the expressions of love. That can be too. But here it is just the opposite. She says that she is sick of love. She is sick under the expressions of that love. That is at that banqueting house. The bride, she says, I am sick. She says, I feel weak in my body. Like I am going to succumb. Like I am going to expire under that weakness. She feels overwhelmed in her body. She feels as if she is soon going to be overcome. Through the fall, our bodies, they have become weak. For one that is more than the other. But altogether, our bodies, they are in a very general sense weak. Do you ever experience something of that weakness? A little sickness, a little disease, and very soon, then we feel that weakness in our body, that we are deprived of all of our strength. That is, even the strongest men in this world. David, he asked the Lord, that I may know how frail that I am. Paul, he calls our body a tabernacle. That is a tent. So a tent is, boys and girls, something that is very easily taken down. That is our body. That is very easily taken down. A little sickness and a little disease. And then the Bible that says, then we fly away. Not only is the weakness of that tabernacle not able to bear disease and not able to bear sickness, but it is also not able to bear much of the enjoyments that are in this life, because even under those enjoyments, then our body that becomes tired, that we cannot continue in those enjoyments forever, that we need a little rest from them. And now the bride expresses something of the effect of the spiritual blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon her on her body. They are of their nature far superior than anything that is able to be enjoyed in this world. And thus their enjoyment that requires also a certain amount of energy that is from our bodies. And the weakness of those frames, and that is soon felt. If the Lord, he is only sustaining a little while, the measures of his love in his visits, so that David, he says that my cup that overflows, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Thus the bride, as she is crying out here, she cries out here under a load. She cries out for help. She cries out lest, she says, that she will expire because she is not able to continue in that blessed communion with him. She is not able to endure in the weakness of her frame, the smiles of his face. She cannot endure that friendliness of his countenance in the measure that it is being given unto her, as we can read it here. Thus she is asking actually that it be somewhat limited. We read of the Queen of Sheba that she came from far, and she came to see the wisdom of Solomon. And then we read that when she saw it, there was no more spirit in her. No, she says, I believe not the word. Until I came, and my own eyes have seen it. And she says, behold, the half was not told me. And so that is, even in the experiences of that church here below, when you will show a young people a beautiful picture that you have taken in this world to your mother or to your father, then you are not able to capture what your own eyes have really seen. Then you will say it was actually much more beautiful, but I am not able to capture it in order to show it unto you. And so that is, when the Lord is giving those blessings unto his church, then there is no way that is able to be explained and expounded in the way that it has been experienced by the frailty of the lips of that true church. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples. Thus, she is calling for support. She is calling here for sustenance in that weakness that she felt, lest that she would fall under it. And then where does she look for that sustenance? Well, she is looking to that apple tree. You say that apple tree actually that was the source of her sickness, and that is true. But she is looking once again to that same apple tree as it may be the remedy for her sickness. Thus she says, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples. What is it that makes that sickness and that communion and that weakness upon the communion with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that is actually a great contrast. Because Isaiah, he says, woe is me. He says, I am undone. Why? Well, he says, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Thus, he saw a very great contrast. And it is in that great contrast that often a person, he fears even that he will die. Think only of Manoah. Now that great contrast, that is what is experienced by that church, because that love of Christ that is not appearing all by itself. It is not appearing in a vacuum, but that love of Christ that is appearing against a backdrop. And that is a backdrop which is pitch black. Thus the bride, she says, I am black but comely. Thus that love of Christ, and that is against the backdrop of their own sin. It is against the backdrop of their own loathsomeness. And what will that be when we will take a look at a backdrop which is very, very dark, that is pitch black? And then we will see on that pitch black backdrop, we will see a light, even be it a very small light. Well, soon, then we will experience that we are not able to even look upon that light. because of the backdrop which it is against. And so it is now for the church that love of Christ that is now appearing to them against that backdrop of their own iniquity, and that love that is appearing so much the greater and so much the higher because of where it is coming from, because it is a love that is divine. And then they see something in those moments about of the goodness of the Lord, which is only increasing their own loathsomeness when they may consider Him against whom that they have sinned. Oh, there is nothing that makes that people feel as so sinful more than the consideration of the goodness and the holiness and the purity and the righteousness of the Lord Himself. All that is sufficient to make that purity and that disinterested love from the side of Christ shine so brightly and that they are unable to bear to look at it but for a few moments. And that is now what the bride is expressing. And so she is asking that she be supported. That is the only remedy. And we see that in our second thought, upheld and embraced by His hands. His left hand is under my head, and His right hand doth embrace me. O Christ, He is a most loving husband unto His church. And here we read that He is now sustaining her in this swoon, that He is upholding her in His hands. His left hand is under my head. Thus she experiences that He is holding her up, that He is supporting her in it, and that He is not allowing her to fall. That swoon of the church under the manifestations of the love of Christ, they are an account of the greatness of the blessings that they receive. Then we must remember from where that church is come, from where that church is taken. Because she is taken, we read, out of the pit. She is taken out of that miry clay. And then what are her expectations when she is in that pit? Well, what did the prodigal say? He says, I perish. He says, I perish with hunger. And then what did he ask for? You know that, children. What did he ask for? He did not say to his father, Father, that I may have a place again at thy table. Father, that I may have a place again in the family. Or that I may have a place again as a son. That I may be equal once again to my brother who has not sinned. Oh no. That was much too high for him because of the loathsomeness of his deeds. No, he says, Father, oh, if I could only be just a servant. Oh, do you know that place? Oh, it would be a wonder if I could have the least place in that kingdom of God. And now when that church is served an embrace, and that church is served a kiss, and that church is served a ring, and is served shoes, and is served a robe, and is served a fatted calf with such expectations, then you understand in the estimation of that people, then they are raised out of hell into heaven. He took me from that miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, the psalmist did say. That is now the experience of that church. And so she says, his left hand is under my head. Oh, she says, that is necessary for the greatness of the blessings which she may receive from him, that the Lord would support her underneath it. That support, how is that received? That is received when the Lord, he is opening unto that people something more of that apple tree. He is opening unto that people something of the foundations upon which that all the greatness of those blessings may be received from him. What does he say to her? Oh, he says, I do it not for your sakes, O house of Israel. Oh, he cannot do it for their sake. They feel it. And then he declares that unto them. What is now the foundation? What is the reason that he can do it? What is the reason that he does do it? He says, I do it for mine own great holy namesake. And this is now so strengthening unto that church. And when they may see from where those blessings are coming, when they may feel, when they may know the foundation upon which those great blessings are based, then it has not to do with them. They are but the recipients. We can read of David. What did he say to Mephibosheth? Oh, he shall eat continually at my table. Oh, that man, lame on both his feet. Oh, expecting David to judge him and that he would be put to death and then to receive a place instead at that table of the king. Oh, then he swooned also under it. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? But David, he declared for whom that he did it. Then he said, it is for Jonathan, thy father's sake. It is for the love that I have to him, that he had to me. It is for the sake of that covenant that I have sworn between me and him and between him and myself. Oh, all the blessings that are given unto that church, that they may perceive in the openings that the Lord is given, every blessing that is coming for a particular cause. It is standing on a foundation that has nothing to do with that people. That is a covenant between himself and his own son. That is what he has sworn from that never begun eternity. And thus it cannot be any different than that those people, they should receive every blessing that is now coming out of the mediatorial work of that beloved of the Father. Oh, there is a richness in him that is not able to be received by all this world, that is set apart for that true church, and that is not based on anything that is lying in that people. It is not based on any of their seeking. It is not based on their praying. It is not based on their own works. It is not based on their motives. It is not based on their desires. Oh, it is based solely, wholly, and alone on that good pleasure and on that merit of that only begotten Son of God. Oh, that is now strength. And when that people may be given to see something, that is something of this left hand. The bride says, his left hand, and that is under my head, and that is helping her to continue under these blessings. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. What does that mean? Well, Christ, he has two hands, he has two arms, and with that one left hand, that left arm, then he catches her in her swoon, then he upholds her, then he strengthens her, and then he supports her. But then at the same time, then he takes his right hand, and with his right hand, then he draws her. He draws her ever closer then unto himself. And so now when those foundations, they are being discovered unto that true church of God, oh, then the certainty of that salvation that is being increased, that is being made more sure, oh, it is based on his own word, it is based on his own covenant. And so that church may feel something, they may experience something of his embrace, and an embrace that is even more than a kiss. Oh, she is held by him. She is brought closer unto him, not by herself, but that is by him himself, that he brings her nearer unto himself, that he presses her, as it were, to his bosom, that he presses her, as it were, unto his heart. Oh, then they feel and experience a little of the unbreakableness of that covenant, that it is not based on anything of themselves, but that they are only the recipients of his covenant. He says, I am married unto you. And that is then by a solemn oath. It is an oath that is sworn already in eternity, and that he declares when he says, my covenant will I not break, and I will not alter that thing that has gone out of my lips. And then it is not only him, but it is also the church. And that church, and they will sing. And what will they sing? They will sing as we wish to sing. 163, stanzas 2 and 3. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. So I will bless thee while I live and lift my prayer to thee. And also the third, my Savior, 'neath thy sheltering wings, my soul delights to dwell. Still closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. 2 and 3 of Psalter 163. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, and that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. That is our third thought, stimulated to watchfulness. In the Lord's Supper, there is what we sometimes call a reciprocal seal. Thus, we spoke about a seal, but a reciprocal seal. So what is that? Well, that experience of that embrace of Christ that is working something also on the side of his church. It is true, young people, we say over and over again that the work of the Lord, that is a one-sided work. I hope you understand it. That is not to say that you ought not to seek. No, that one-sidedness of the Lord's work, that is the experience of the church, that is the truth. It does not start in the heart of a dead man. It is impossible. And yet, the Lord, he is using means in order to bring a man to that true regeneration. So do never let the one-sidedness of the work of the Lord stimulate you to carelessness against the command of the Lord to seek while he can be found. And now it is true that work of the Lord to regenerate a man, that effectual calling, that has to be a one-sided work. If a man is truly dead in trespasses and in sins, but when the Lord regenerates him, is he still dead? And then he is alive. Thus, if the Lord makes that people alive, now there begins to come something also from the other side. Because this is a marriage, and a marriage that cannot be a one-sided thing. No, that comes from two sides. There was once a woman, and she said after the Lord's Supper to the minister, she says, "Minister, I have signed up again." What did she mean? Well, she meant that which the Lord had given to her, that had stimulated her, that she may walk once again in that new and living way, that is, according to the commandments of the Lord by love. Thus, there is something that is now coming on the other side, that is a fruit of the work of Christ, of the love of Christ, that is experienced in the heart and in the life of the people. The bride, she says, "Draw me, we will run after thee." And that is now so. That is the reality, that is the experience. Is that also your experience? That experience, that reality that is expressed here by Solomon also in our text. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. What is that? That is the bride. She is speaking, and she desires to remain. She desires to continue in that place. Oh, when they experience that love of him, then why would they want ever to leave such a place again? Then they may understand why that people, when they have finally laid down all the weapons in this life, and they may be received into glory, that people, they have no desire anymore to come back into this world. And now that may be for a few moments also, when that church may be received, when she may sit under that apple tree, and when she may eat of those fruits of the apple tree, and when she may be received and brought into that banqueting house, oh, then she has no desire that she would leave that place anymore. But she does not want to lose that communion. And then she becomes, boys and girls, just like a mother, a wife. When her husband, she comes home from work, and he is tired, and then he falls asleep in her arms. And then she is saying to the children, she says, you must now be very, very quiet, that you do not wake him up. You know, the Oriental people, it was for them that was something terrible when you would wake up somebody when that they were sleeping. Thus she says, I charge you. Thus, that was very important to her. It meant so much that he would not be disturbed. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field. So, what kind of an animal is that? We have hunters in our midst, young people. By the roes and by the hinds of the field. And you go out in the field. And what do you have to be? Well, you have to be so careful, you say. You cannot make a rustle. Because if you just move and they see you, then that animal, he is quickly gone and he is bounding away. Just with the least movement. And so the bride, as she is comparing this communion of Christ, and she says how quickly that this can now be disturbed. Thus, when that bride, she has maybe after such a long time gotten hold of him, she has after maybe so a long searching finally been brought by him to commune with him, to get a word from him, to get a smile from him, or to get him to speak unto her soul. Then she is careful that she doesn't let him go. That's what we read together in the following chapter. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. That is the difficulty. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? How long has it been, people of the Lord? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him. Oh, my soul loveth, I held him, and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. And then we read the same words that we had in the former chapter, the same words as in our text. They are repeated by the bride. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. Oh, it is so easy to chase him away. Just to wander away again, to sin against him, to forsake him, to have a worldly heart. And then, or he is bounding away, as it were. And then she does not hear his voice anymore. And so when she has finally got hold of him, her life that becomes so careful, like the life in those beginning days, when that people, they would not step over a straw, so that she may only keep for a little while as something of that blessed communion. And she is charging those daughters of Jerusalem, and that is now that young church, that inexperienced church, who are more likely to interrupt the enjoyments by their carelessness, and they need to be admonished in their walk to watch over themselves, because the communion that is not easily gotten, no, but it is very quickly lost. And yet it is not only interrupted by the sin of that church, because she says that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Thus, even when there is nothing, when there is nothing from the side of that bride to chase him away, to offend him, and yet there will come a time that it pleases him to get up again and to go again, because such a sensible communion that does not belong in its continuance to this life. And now the bride, oh, she is content with that. She says, if it is his will, if it is his pleasure to go again, then it is good. But she says, oh, let nothing come from my side to chase him away, that she may still have that blessed rest and that blessed peace that is in her conscience. And so, people of the Lord, or if you may experience a little bit, if you may receive a little crumb from that table of that master, or then what is it that lives in your heart? Then you say with those travelers to Emmaus, you say, O Lord, abide with us. O Lord, stay with us. And then your life that becomes careful, that is a fruit of that communion, that is a fruit of his own work, that it makes you watchful over your life. And yet it cannot be every day. Oh, but that time is coming. He is asking. It is not so much because it is desired by that church, but it is desired by him. And then he is praying unto his own Father, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me, that they may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Oh, that day is coming. It is coming because he does desire it. And therefore we read, blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And then their body, all their body that will have to be changed. The bride, she experiences that. Oh, then in this body, it is not able to endure, and but a little time of the sweetness of that communion. And therefore Paul, he says that time will come when this corruption that will put on incorruption, and when this mortal that shall put on immortality, and when that weak body that will be strengthened, it will be made to be able to bear that eternal dwelling that is with him. And therefore the apostle says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, what a wonder. What a wonder that shall be to that church when they may enter into that place. All those wonders, they are too great to bear here in this world. But one day they shall bear them without interruption. O congregation, what is now our thought? We have all been here in this morning hour. Then we are all a witness. But we have also made a confession. Oh, take now that confession home with you. There was a woman, I think I told you about that a while ago. He said, Reverend Vogelaar, he had asked her after her husband had passed away, and he visited her, and then he said, now, what about you? And she says, I am unconverted. And then he left, and her own words, they were used for her own conversion. Oh, may your own confession this morning hour, when you had to say, and it is good we are honest, it is good we are honest. Oh, we know what it is, congregation. We said this morning, then you have no desire for Him. You see no beauty in Him. Oh, I know that when I was young too, young people. When I was young, I was riding in my car. And I was listening to a sermon. And the minister, he says, if you have not Christ, you have nothing. And then I cried out. I said, Lord, then I have nothing. Then I have nothing. Because God's people, they love Him. And I do not know Him. And I do not love Him. I see no beauty in Him. Oh, we have to be honest. And it is good you are honest. But it is not enough. It is not enough. Oh, think how this bride, she has charged the daughters of Jerusalem. He says, I charge you, do not awaken Him. Then you may know how precious that He became to her, that she would not want to let Him go. Oh, then hear it. Take your own confession that I see no beauty in thee. Take it home with you. May that confession be for your own conversion. That you say, O Lord, I am undone. Thou wilt appear on the clouds of heaven. I have to give an account. And I have never been shown my whole life who that thou art and how beautiful thou art. Thou hast never been made precious to my soul. Oh, let it be the thought, let it be the meditation, let it be the reflection of your heart now, in the time that you go forward, that there could be a change. That there could be a change because of our own confession in this very day, and that the Lord may give thereby a new birth. A hunger and a thirst after Him who is the true and who is the living God. And let not those that wait on Him be discouraged. Why not? Oh, fear not, though succor be delayed. Still wait for God, and He will hear. Because the delay, congregation, is not a no. 25 years, Abraham was 75 years old, and he had to wait 25 years. And then the Lord came, and it was then to him a great surprise. May it be so. Also, with each and every one of us, oh, seek Him, children. Seek Him when you are young. We do not know how long you live. We can die. Also when we are young people, believe it because it is the truth. And I hope that there is a little crumb that may make you jealous of that blessed portion which can only be received not by seeking what is below, but can only be received at the feet of the Lord Jesus Himself. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge Thee for a day that we may be together, when we may bring yet Thy word in a little way, and also administer Thy holy sacrament. Oh, that Thou wouldst speak, Lord, and that Thou wouldst work, confirm Thy own work, and wilt Thou also give new ones to be born in Zion. Oh, take us by heart and by hand, and lead us on that straight and that narrow path. Give us to forsake the world and every former friend for the blessedness of that portion. Remember us as we depart from one another once again. Spare us in this day and in the week to come. And wilt Thou watch over fathers and mothers, children at school, and keep us all from sin. Make it sin unto us, and make Thy dear Son to be white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 7. On the good and faithful, God has set His love. When they call, He sends them blessings from above. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 7. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.